Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we take a look at the return of Bluebell ice cream and why Texans were so quick to forgive the company after a widespread listeria outbreak. Nearly a year ago, in March 2015, the Brenham, Texas-based company issued its first product recall in its 108 years of operation, and eventually, it shuttered all of its production facilities so they could be cleaned and sanitized. The recall saw the return of some 8 million gallons of ice cream, but by the fall, the company was slowly returning to stores. But the return has been down a bumpy and uncertain road. At the end of 2015, the Wall Street Journal reported that Bluebell was being investigated by the U.S. Department of Justice over the listeria contamination of its ice cream. According to these reports, officials are attempting to find out what company executives knew and what they did or didn't do. Additionally, earlier this year, Bluebell issued a statement saying there were suspected areas in their facilities where bacteria may be present. In this episode, we hear our original reporting about Bluebell's return, and after that, we'll hear from Chris Pulig, a marketing professor with Baylor's Handcammer School of Business. This is Behind the Story. As I walk into the HEB off I-35, I head towards the freezer aisle, where a note lets customers know that the grocery store is expecting Bluebell to return to Waco sometime from mid to late September. That aisle is also where I find 65-year-old retiree Michael Malott. For him, ice cream is just ice cream. It's all the same. But his wife and daughter-in-law, he says, have their preferences.
They were totally ecstatic when they heard that it was coming back to the stores and told me I had to go out and find some right away. Just because it was Bluebell ice cream, and that was the best ice cream in the world.
Malott says they don't seem too worried about any health scares or the potential of another listeria contamination, so I had to ask him.
So do you think it's like a Texas thing? Like, why do we love it so much?
That I have no clue, other than my wife said it was made better than any other ice cream there is.
So to find out just how Bluebell ice cream was able to weather the storm of a listeria outbreak and why Texans are so forgiving, we turn to Chris Pulig. Pulig is a professor and chair of the marketing department at Baylor University's Handcammer School of Business.
I think what really made the Bluebell brand successful in surviving this crisis was really these beloved and more heritage-based associations that are not related to the functionality of the product per se, but they make it to where we're much more likely to forgive the brand. And research shows that brands that are loved are much more likely to be forgiven.
And that's what Pulig's research has found. One article published in the Journal of Academy of Marketing Science looked at a brand's ability to endure negative publicity. And like his research, Pulig says with Bluebell, it's the brand's outside associations, like fond memories of having the ice cream as a kid, that have insulated the brand from harm. Pulig says ultimately we buy things for three reasons: for the benefits or the functions the product serves, for symbolic benefits, that is, it makes us feel good about who we are, and also for hedonic reasons.
These are, you know, reasons based on just pleasure. So, you know, one of the things we like about Bluebell, for example, is the fact that it has these flavors that maybe are kind of whimsical or remind us of our childhood. So those are reasons we buy the product as well. So when you think about a product like a Bluebell, it actually hits on all of those products. You know, so it definitely, flavors are great, tastes good, and for the most part, it's reliable.
That reliability was called into question several months ago when a listeria contamination was found at the company's production facilities. On April 20th, Bluebell voluntarily recalled all of its products and eventually closed its facilities to undergo cleaning and equipment updates, which led to roughly 1,400 full-time and part-time Bluebell employees being laid off. The company's return to stores in Texas and parts of the Southwest is part of a five-phase plan, which Waco is part of phase two. But with only one production plant operating right now, it's going to take some time before it returns to the heart of Texas. In a video posted on the Creamery's website, Ricky Dixon, the vice president of sales and marketing for Bluebell, said operating one production facility has limited the ice cream's complete return.
It's kind of like trying to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool with a single garden hose. It can be done. It's just going to take some time.
And it's that time that has been another invaluable benefit for the company's return. With KWBU, I'm Carlos Morales. And now, we'll hear more from Chris Pulig, a marketing professor with Baylor's Handcamer School of Business, who has studied what events like this could mean for a brand and its company. Professor Pulig, it's been several months since we last talked, and a lot has happened to Bluebell since then. They've completely returned to Waco and to many other markets across the state, and it almost seemed like they came back completely unscathed. People were heading to stores to load up their carts with ice cream, and many stores had to limit the amount of Bluebell people were purchasing. So how would you evaluate that return and how it was received across Bluebell states?
Right. So the return was interesting. You know, consumers basically felt like they had found a long-lost friend when they went back to the store and found Bluebells available on the shelves. I think they did an interesting touch with, you know, returning the distribution, beginning with their original distribution channel and their expansion, and just reinforced the Heritage Association. So really very smart on their part to return in that way. And, you know, I know people, including people in our family, were very excited that they could have a little taste of Bluebell again. And it's interesting just to see the excitement that generated.
And part of that return included a pretty significant investment from the Fort Worth businessman and oil tycoon Sid Bass. Aside from the monetary contribution he gave, what, if anything, does that do for Bluebell's perception?
Yeah, well, the investment, you know, is obviously going to help them financially, you know, with the cost incurred with the lost business. So anytime you lose business like they did while they were not producing and distributing their product, significant, you know, costs associated with that and really a severe hit to the bottom line. But I think what's interesting about that, too, is it's actually a signal of how important Bluebell is as an icon in Texas heritage, you know, is a significant player within not only the marketplace, but within our culture. And for someone with the reputation of Mr. Bass to step up and make that kind of investment, let you know how important it is, not only to him in terms of as a business, but I think also as just a cultural icon.
So does all of that kind of tell people like, well, hey, this guy's taking the risk, you know, if he believes in Bluebell, I should too?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, not only does he believe in it, and he spoke up, I guess, on his behalf, but, you know, he put money where his mouth is. So, you know, when you think about it, it's a very strong signal that, you know, you can count on Bluebell coming back and recovering. So, you know, that I think is really important for those reasons. You know, the money is important, but I think the signal it sends is extremely important.
Now, I'd like to talk a bit about the research you've done that's related to all of this. When we first talked, you told me about the associations that people have with certain brands and how those associations can help lessen the impact of a major disaster like the Listeria outbreak at Bluebell production facilities.
Right. So, you know, I've done a significant amount of research in this area. But essentially what I find is that when brands have really strong brand attitudes, where people believe in a brand, either in its commitment to quality products or commitment to certain sort of values, when they have a strong attitude towards the brand and really favorable attitude towards the brand, they're much more forgiving of the brand. And, you know, we really saw that play out in the case of Bluebell. You know, what I do is I look at two different types of negative publicity. So, you know, these negative events can either be classified as more performance related. So this would be quality kind of events, but they also can be more values oriented. So really in this case, Bluebell really hits on both. It you know, had some quality issues with the product, but, you know, what happened following you know, the recall and everything, there's some questions about, you know, the values of the organization and the way in which they handled
recall. But I think in the case of Bluebell, you know, because it's such an icon of Texas heritage and such a loved and beloved brand, you know, we not only count on it for really high quality product, but we also really trust it because it is really very much like a family friend. So consumers in general are very forgiving. Consumers are going to forgive the brand because it's always been seen as a high quality brand. We think we can count on it to come back and give us the high quality product it has in the past. And consumers also basically believe in it as a friend. And Mr. Bass's commitment to the brand is a signal that others believe that as well.
And are those associations, having those connections to memories of eating bowlfuls of Bluebell at grandma's house, are those positive associations Bluebell's best friend during all of this? Is that what's going to help them weather this?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably part of it. One thing I think that Bluebell probably should consider, and that is just the idea that it's okay to be human. You know, consumers really, you know, expect brands to be human today. They do expect a high level of transparency with brands. And, you know, really the more human the brand is, the more forgiving people will be with the brand. So it's okay to admit, you know, they've made some mistakes, you know, and own up to those and move forward. But, yeah, those heritage associations are really strong and really hard to let go of. So, you know, we really like these brands that are part of our lives.
Is there a company or brand that has gone through a similar disaster and been able to mount a comeback that Bluebell could model itself after? Basically, is there any brand that Bluebell can take notes from?
Well, I mean, the classic case is the Tylenol case, where, you know, Tylenol pulled all the product and then, you know, basically owned up to it and fixed it. And I think they probably, for the most part, followed that. You know, I think that you know, it's really kind of difficult to know if it's different, I guess, in some respects. So, in that, you know, with the Tylenol case, there really weren't the heritage associations, so they probably had to be better at their response. But the Tylenol case is one. Probably the others that are similar would be the Toyota faulty brakes. And I think Chevrolet to a certain extent, you know, with some of their ignition issues with the Cobalt and some of their brands, probably as close to Bluebell as well, in that, you know, Chevrolet is a fairly, you know, iconic brand. And for the most part, people have been fairly forgiving of their transgressions as well.
Professor Pulig, if you can, would you map out what you think might have been an appropriate response for Bluebell or for any company, really? Would the first step after a disaster like that be acknowledging the brand's failure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so the classic response is essentially to own up to the problem and acknowledge there is a problem, and then promise that you're going to fix the problem, and then, you know, make everything right. And then promise you're also going to prevent the problem from occurring in the future. So, because really when you think about what happens when you have these kinds of events is, you know, it's a negative. So, you know, it's a bad thing. So you have to deal with that. And so how negative is it is one aspect the company has to consider. People will assume it's your fault. So that's the default assumption, is that you're at fault. And then, you know, the other thing is there's concerns. You know, is this something that's going to occur again in the future? So, you know, the company really has to respond, you know, and address each one of those issues. So, you know, essentially the best way is to own up to it, admit there's a problem, and then try to find a way to assure people that it's not going to happen again.
And the first time we talked, you mentioned you didn't think Bluebell didn't do as good of a job addressing the matter. Where exactly do you think they faltered?
Yeah, I think, you know, the initial response was probably a little more piecemeal than it should have been. You know, I think they probably should have gone in with a all-in strategy of basically, you know, owning up and letting people know and And then also assuring people that it was, you know, something that we're going to fix and prevent from happening in the future. So I think that's probably the one thing that I would have done differently if it had been Bluebell. But, you know, given the strength of the brand, you know, they were able to not probably have the textbook response.
That textbook response seems to predicate a lot on being open, on being transparent. And that's what Bluebell did not too long ago when they said they suspected that there were areas where bacteria still may be present. And I feel that was them being completely transparent and open with consumers and the public. But it almost seems that didn't work out for them. It almost seems like it kind of backfired.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, they are being transparent, I think, to a large extent. But I think part of the problem here is it's a reoccurrence. So, you know, when you have a reoccurrence, then you have additional doubts about whether they're going to be able to fix this or not. So, you know, there was some concern initially with the first event. But, you know, there was some confidence they would probably fix it. With a reoccurrence, you know, you begin to wonder if they're going to be able to take care of the problem. So generally speaking, you know, people are forgiving, but at some point, obviously, as with anyone that we might know and love, you know, there's some point in time where we may begin to tire of this problem.
And this press release they sent out came out about 2 weeks after the Wall Street Journal reported the Department of Justice was investigating Bluebell. So those are two successive big blows to the brand. Can it really take that much more? Or is the next event, no matter how slight, going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back?
I mean, it definitely is dangerous to have all these things continue to add up. But I would say there's probably a good chance that the brand itself is fine, simply because I think people will separate the iconic tin of ice cream from the management. And, you know, there's probably a way in which the brand will survive if managed properly. You know, so I think, you know, the thing to do is just own up to the fact that their mistakes were made. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it'll be resolved quickly, you know, for the brand. And, you know, then the people will separate those two things, the management and the brand itself. I suspect if the brand can assure consumers it's fully safe, and it's back on the shelf, that people will flock back to buying it.
When it comes to brands that have gone through events like this, earlier you mentioned Tylenol and Chevrolet, and I can also think of the recent Volkswagen emission cheating scandal. So for brands that have gone through this, is there a point in time when it fades from public memory, or do these events usually hang around?
Yeah, there's no doubt that it will fade. And, you know, I think that and some things will stick, though. But I think what's interesting here is, to a certain extent, I think it depends. This is what my research would suggest. It would depend a little bit upon to what extent it aligns with a weaker area of the brand. So if the negative publicity aligns with an area that the brand's not well known for or hasn't in the past been known for. So, for example, let's take the Volkswagen incident. Mm-hmm. You know, Volkswagen's not necessarily known for being a high values oriented company. It's known for its effectiveness, economy, efficiency, those kinds of things. The negative event, negative publicity, is around its values. So that has a chance of sticking more because they're not going to have other associations that compete with it on that dimension. So that association may actually stay with that company somewhat. If it had been an economy or efficiency or even a quality problem with Volkswagen, the likelihood that would fade away because it would basically be covered up with or interfered with additional associations related to efficiency and economy that would basically overwhelm that, that one has a better chance of fading. So with Bluebell, the same is true. You know, really, it's values-laden associations that are created with the negative publicity that they're incurring now have a better chance of sticking and really being problematic than the quality problems.
Can Bluebell, let me step back a little bit. Can brands in general ever go back to being 100%? Can they go back to being at the level they were before XYZ event happened and affected their brand?
Yeah, they can. They can. I mean, and it's also possible they could be better, you know, because, you know, if they demonstrate a commitment and, you know, for example, Tylenol, I mean, you know, we know that Tylenol had the problem, but, you know, no one ever doubts that Tylenol is safe and effective. And, you know, and in fact, I think there's some confidence it's probably safer because it had the event. You know, so I think in some ways, sometimes people almost see like a boomerang effect. And that is, it can actually even benefit the brand in that long term, you know, people really trust it because it took care of the problem. But I think that's when, you know, the response is effective and concise and thorough. And, you know, so that's the danger Bluebell, I think, runs is, you know, with this thing being a little bit more elongated and not being as effective the way in which they've handled it. It runs a chance of not recovering as effectively if they had effectively taken care of it the first time.
You know, part of the report that came out about the DOJ investigation into Bluebell is supposed to find out who knew what and when. So if it turns out that management, that people knew about events and the clear dangers associated with them, what's the best move for Bluebell next?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be really obviously devastating to the brand. But I think, you know, again, you know, it's possible that, you know, people will separate the brand from the management. And, you know, obviously very good chance of fines. And I mean, it's possible there could even be criminal prosecution of individuals. You know, that would be a devastating event. But I think at the same time, I really do believe that people will separate that. And, you know, the brand has a very good chance of recovering once it gets these problems resolved.
To wrap up, I can't imagine any other ice cream brand surviving an event of this magnitude.
Well, you could take any generic ice cream brand, and honestly, if it had these kinds of problems, I suspect people would just walk away and never come back. But it's because of this, it's such a close-knit friend of the family, basically. You know, it's a brand that we use on a daily, sometimes basis, and definitely it comes out for special occasions. I mean, it's there at these family gatherings, and, you know, it's a part of our lives. And people want it to succeed, and they want to forgive it. And, you know, I think that you take any generic other brand in this category, and I think people would walk away and not come back to that brand.
Professor Pulig, is there anything else you'd like to add about what the company can learn from all of this and how they can make a successful comeback, especially in light of the most recent events?
Basically, the bottom line is, you know, Bluebell, you know, it's basically the moral of the story is, you know, build a strong brand and build a brand that is beloved, because if you can build a beloved brand, you know, you can be human. You know, and I think, you know, one of the things too is it's interesting because when you think about Bluebell, I think, you know, if people were to describe it as a human being, I mean, they would describe it as, you know, a friend of the family. And, you know, because it's a friend of the family, it's much more likely to survive these problems.
Professor Pulig, thank you for talking with KWBU today. Chris Pulig is a marketing professor with Baylor's Handcammer School of Business. To hear this episode and past episodes of Behind the Story, you can visit our website at kwbu.org.